A while ago, we explained to you veterans and to your families how important it is for patients in Veterans Administration tuberculosis hospitals to cooperate with the doctors. Now, you see, if a tuberculosis patient insists on leaving the hospital prematurely against the advice of his doctor, well, that's his right. But you can see how dangerous this could be. Danger to the patient himself, in that he drags out his illness, makes his own recovery more difficult. Danger that he may expose to serious infection those he loves best, his family at home. Now, therein lies a great responsibility for tuberculosis patients and for their families. Following the doctor's advice may be hard, but it's sure to be wise. Remember, your doctor wants you to get well just as soon as possible. He's doing his part conscientiously. Do yours. Accept his professional advice. Stay in the hospital until your VA doctor tells you that you're well enough to go home.
The Time Machine.
Carrier's my name and an extra key that I hope he'll drop some of the things. He knows things.
Time machine. Yes, my friend, a time machine.
You're listening to Airship Wrecked with Captain Proctor, broadcasted once a week from whatever time I happen to be visiting to whatever time you are in now. Visit my website, www.petrifyingproductions.com, or email me at captainjproctor@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Google Plus and iTunes Ping.
Airship Wrecked with Captain Proctor.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, once again to yet another show of shows, Airship Wrecked with Captain Proctor. As you may have noticed from my opening sequence, it has changed a slight bit as I am no longer on iTunes Ping. The reason for this is because there is no longer an iTunes Ping. iTunes Ping was terminated and absolutely nobody noticed. Except me, apparently, because I remembered to take it out off of the beginning thing. All in all, it was, frankly, a not very useful part of iTunes, and I don't think it will be missed. Which is a shame, because I'll get back to you on that. Yes, well, very excellent. Today, I have decided that I'm going to go back in time, because, of course, I have a time machine, and visit the beginning of time, and everything as we know it. So, I shall be traveling back in time a long time ago, very soon. So, before then, let's have some music, shall we?
Time Machine by Russell Garcia.
Distinction between the former three dimensions and the latter, because it happens that our consciousness moves intermittently in one direction along the latter from the beginning to the end of our lives.
Yes, John Williams. That lazy bum. Just repeats the same music again and again. Anyway, yes. While we were playing all those time travel songs, I have traveled back long, long time, back in time, to see the beginning of time, and it appears that all I can see is... It's Adam. Adam, what are you doing here at the beginning of time?
I came with you, remember?
Oh yeah, that's I forgot that you were here. It's just very dark, and it seems like there's nothing here except this one very small speck. It's very pretty, and oh my, I think.
Hello, Barrister Proctor. I'm sorry I'm interrupting you again. I'm feeling very depressed because I have not been able to locate the thief who stole my time machine. I'm feeling very bad about this. It's the first time I've been trusted with a time machine, and now I've gone and lost it. I'm not losing all hope. I'll get right back to searching right after I stop at this here park and eat my potato chip that I've been dragging around all this time. I'm not sure why I didn't just sit down and eat it first. I guess I was pretty worried about that time machine. I'm going to go over and sit on this bench and, this is a very strange bench. This is not a bench. This is my time machine. Oh, well, I suppose whoever stole it must have realized that it was completely worthless to them and left it in the park. And I thought it was a bench in the park. And to be honest there, I was beginning to suspect that that one person from the last episode may have actually been stealing my original time machine. But no, he did build a replica, and here, this is my actual one. Okay, well, forget the potato chip. I wasn't really interested in that thing anyways. I'm going on to my next goal. Here we go. Something's wrong with this. I'm not able to control the time machine. I'm not in control of where I'm going. Oh, it could be any number of places throughout the universe and throughout space and time. And nope, here we go. Okay, I'm in a new place that I did not decide to go here, and it looks like a empty room with four walls and a doorway leading out of one wall. I suppose I'll go out the door there. I'm not sure. Might as well see where I am. And okay, well, outside of this door is a long hallway, and at the end of the hallway is two separate hallways going in the left and right directions, respectively. This is very strange. I'm not sure entirely what's going on here.
You are in a maze.
What? Oh, what? What? I'm sorry, what was that? I think I heard a voice there just a moment ago, and yes.
Yes, you did hear a voice. That was me. I'm a disembodied voice.
Okay. Well, that is partially explanatory.
Yes. Yes, it is. Now, you are in a maze.
Yeah, I think we already went over that.
Yes. Actually, yes, we did. The only way to get out of this maze is to get out of it.
Or I could just go back into the room I was in and take my time machine and go.
I suppose you could do that, but I'd really appreciate it if you would take the time to go through my maze, because I've worked really hard on it, and nobody has come for the past 50 millennia, and I'm getting kind of bored waiting for somebody to come.
Oh, well, in that case, walking through a giant maze was on my checklist anyways, so I guess I can go through it here. I'm going to take a left, and then I'm going to take a left, and a left, and left, and oh dear, I seem to have ended up back where I started. This is not good at all. I'm going to have to find a different route if I'm ever going to get out of here. Let's see, I'm going to take a left, and then take a right, take a left, take a left, and take... Oh, I should probably stop taking lefts. That was my downfall last time. I'll take a right. And oh, look, there's a doorway into another room.
Congratulations. You have reached the first chamber.
Well, actually, if you're going to define what chambers are, technically the room that I've started in, that was a chamber as well.
Yes, well, I suppose we can call this the second chamber, but is the first chamber with a challenge in it.
Oh, a challenge.
Yes, a challenge. You see, every time you select the correct paths and find a door, you will be presented with a new challenge. The challenges get progressively more difficult as you go along.
Oh, I see. So the challenge here should be fairly easy. Yes. Okay, well, I'm just going to walk into the chamber, and there is nothing in the chamber.
Yes, well, like I said, they get progressively more difficult.
All right, then. Well, just walk through, walk out the other door, and start walking and wandering through the maze, and wandering, take a left, take a right, I'll go straight here, and I'm walking very fast to be taking these turns so quickly, but, well, I'm sure nobody really wants to hear me talk about which directions I'm taking. That sounds like it would be pretty boring, but actually I'm boring myself here. Oh, look, there's another door. Okay, I'm going to go through, and there is, oh, this looks very challenging. There is a spike in the center of the room sticking up. It actually just, it looks like it doesn't actually do anything, so if I walk around it here, I should be fine. Yes. Well, there we go.
Very good. You've made it past the second challenge room, which is the third consecutive chamber.
Yes. Well, that sounds about right. Well, it seems to me like these challenges might be a while before they get really interesting, so I'm just going to leave off here, and hopefully I'll be able to come back again when I get to an interesting challenge. Goodbye.
You know, the beginning of time is not very interesting after a while. There's just sort of these specks floating around in the darkness. Huh. It reminds me of something, and I can't quite remember what. Well, I guess I will continue with some more music.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
That was good music. Woohoo!
Thank you.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
This is a great concert, Adam.
Try to Scream by Shell.
Wait. We're not at a concert, are we? We're just... Oh, it's just so dark in here that hearing that noise, it's amazing. It's like I'm in some sort of deprivation chamber. Adam, I figured it out. The beginning of time was a deprivation chamber. The entire world is inside of a deprivation chamber. Oh no, sensory deprivation, my greatest fear. What should I do? What should I do? Oh, there's a noise. That's good. Adam, what is that noise?
Oh, he lives in a lost city under the sea. He's big and he's green and he's tentacly. His virtue Scientologists do extol. He'll rise up one day and he will lead your soul. Great Cthulhu, great Cthulhu, great Cthulhu, great Cthulhu.
Nom 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 nom.
Cthulhu wins versus Captain Proctor. Who will win? No one can tell. And they're circling. And they're circling. Ooh, right and left. Cthulhu just whipped the tentacle out there. That's not fair play if I ever seen myself. And Captain Proctor has disabled Cthulhu because he knew his secret weakness and he punched him right in the...
I'm back. Yes, I defeated Cthulhu. Well, you see, as it turned out, I wasn't at the beginning of time after all. I was simply in the closet. apparently, the reason there's that closet on the side of the time machine is not... just for keeping Cthulhu, but also for when you try to go back to the beginning of time, it just sends you in there instead. So, yeah. I guess I will never know how time began. But, oh well. Not like anyone cares about that. Well, let's have some more music. Shall we?
Attune your ears to the grinding gears.
Come with me, I'll show you how to be a metal man. When the gears are turning and the fires are burning. When the world ticks around, your voice is talking all the time. And you live for sleep, you never slept because you cannot sleep. O'Connor Walter was shocked when he learned from the Nile. Copper African elephants are turning hostile. So we built these wonderful automata boats and a very big steam-powered gear out of smoke. Now the war is past and over. We left to sit and wonder. And what is real? And why do living things need feeling?
Are you ready? Here we go!
One, two, three!
La 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 da! 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 La 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 da 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 da.
To try pumping lead through your veins, or have a heart so wet and cold it starts rusting. When the world ticks around, your voice is talking all the time. You live for feelings you never felt because you cannot feel.
What is this leaking effect in my eye? Does the oil that is dripping mean this is a crime? Will I ever be something with feelings to hide? Or am I just a boiler with inside? I want all today.
Don't
You're not a living thing with feeling.
Here we go.
One, two, three. La 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 la
steam-powered giraffe would
smoke. Brass goggles by steam-powered giraffe.
We'll be right back.
got Pete's Antique Remix by Mix and Blend and Narch.
Are you feeling down? Do you wish that some small, deformed orphan child would come and cheer you up? Well, now you can carry them around in your pocket. With Morbew and Hammam's Compendium of Deformed Children, a miniature cabinet card collection directly to you, free from me. Coming out next week, released in this podcast stream, will be a PDF of the all-new collection of Morbew and Hammam's Compendium of Deformed Children. Drawn by me, Captain Proctor, and limericks written on the back, also by me, Captain Proctor. Simply print them out front and back and cut them out. I suggest using cream-colored cardstock. You can also order them directly from me, and I'll mail them to you by emailing me at captainjproctor@gmail.com. But of course, why would you do that when you can simply do it yourself? Also, Max and Melvin's Mortuary Madness now has 3 episodes, so make sure to check that out. It's about 2 college students that start a mortuary in their basement. It is available from iTunes, and is also available from bliptv.com/m4. Also, like us on Facebook at Max and Melvin's Mortuary Madness, or facebook.com/friendlybackyardmortuary. So make sure to go do these things as soon as you're done listening, which should be soon, because here comes the last segment, an old-time radio show. Let's continue where we left off.
Drake was being pleasant to Dr. Tolan. I wasn't sure whether it was for my sake or for his own. Drake has never gone out of his way to please me. Sometimes when I'm gloomy, I look at him across the table and ask myself, why did he marry me? And suddenly after dinner in the living room, Dr. Tolan asked a question which surprised me.
You are a policeman, Mr. Smollett?
Yes.
I wonder, could you show me through one of the police departments on your planet?
Well, I don't belong to a police department in exactly the way you imagine. However, I have some contacts in the New York City Department.
Would I be able to visit the Missing Persons Bureau?
Why are you interested in the Missing Persons Bureau?
Because there again, you are unique. There's no such thing as a missing person on our planet. We're always aware of each other's exact location, no matter where on the planet we might be.
Can you feel such awareness even now, on Earth?
You mean across space? No, I'm afraid not. But you see the importance of the matter. All the uniqueness of Earth should be linked. If the lack of this sense can be explained, perhaps the immunity to inhibition death can be also. Tell me truthfully, Mr. Smollett, if Mrs. Smollett were to leave this room and enter another without your having seen her do so, would you really not be aware of her location?
I really would not.
Amazing. Please do not be offended by the fact that I find it revolting as well.
Drake?
Yes, I'm awake.
Why were you talking about the inhibition death to Dr. Tolan?
I'm taking an interest in your work, Rose. You've always wanted me to take an interest.
I'd rather you weren't sarcastic.
Rose, I'm tired. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
No, right now.
I want no questions from you and no interference. You do your job and I'll do mine.
The nature of my job is open and known.
The nature of my job isn't, by definition, but I'll tell you this. Our six-legged friend is here in this house for some definite reason. You weren't picked as biologist in charge for any random reason. 2 days ago, he'd been inquiring about me at the commission. That's my job, and I won't discuss it with you any further. Do you understand?
No. But I won't question you if you don't want me to.
All right, then go to sleep.
I lay stiffly on my back, and the minutes passed and the quarter hours. I was trying to fit the pieces together. One picture remained clear in my mind. It hovered over me mockingly. At the end of the evening, the Hawkinsite had turned to me just before he left the room.
Good night, Mrs. Smollett. You're a most charming hostess.
I wanted to giggle then. How could he call me a charming hostess? To him, I must have been a horror, a monstrosity with too few limbs and too narrow a face. But then I saw Drake. He turned white. For one instant, his eyes had burned with something that looked like terror. I'd never before known Drake to show fear of anything. And the picture of that instant of pure panic remained with me until all my thoughts finally sagged into the oblivion of sleep. I remember one question that nagged at me through the haze. Why did he marry me?
I found your missing persons bureau interesting in that the large majority of missing persons are males.
Oh, well, that's not mysterious, Dr. Tolan. You simply didn't realize the economic setup we have on Earth.
My wife is an example of the minority of women who are capable of making their own way in the world.
Would you call the Missing Persons Bureau of New York a fair sampling of such cases in the planet at large?
Yes, I should think so.
Is there then an economic explanation for the fact that since interstellar travel has been developed, the percentage of young males among the missing is more pronounced than ever?
Well, that's even less of a mystery than the other. Nowadays, a runaway can hop the nearest space freighter. They're always looking for crewmen. No questions asked.
Almost always young men in their first year of marriage.
Well, that's just the time a man's troubles seem the greatest. If he survives the first year, there's usually no need to disappear at all.
Would it offend you if I disconnected for a period of time?
Disconnected?
It's like sleep. I hope you haven't had too exhausting a day.
It's just that I've been absorbing so many new and unusual concepts that I feel a desire for a little disconnection.
Drake, we've been sitting here for 10 minutes. Aren't you going to speak to me?
About what?
Last night you said you'd speak to me tomorrow. Well, I'm ready now.
I thought it was agreed that you wouldn't question me about my business in this matter.
I think it's too late for that. I know too much about your business by now.
What? What do you mean?
Drake, let go of my arm.
What are you talking about?
Dr. Tolan thinks that Earth is spreading the inhibition death purposely. That's it, isn't it?
Where did you get that idea?
It's true, isn't it?
I want to know exactly why you say that. Don't play games with me, Rose. This is for keeps.
Why don't you ask Dr. Tolan? He's an outstanding worker in the field. I looked over his papers this afternoon.
And what are his theories about the origin of the disease? Try to remember, Rose.
I think he blames Earth, but I think he admits they know nothing about how the disease is spread.
I'll find out about this right now.
Rick, what are you going to do? What's that?
It's my gun. I'm going to ask him a few questions.
He ran out of the bedroom, down the corridor, towards Dr. Tolan's room. I ran after him, caught him just as he entered the door. The Hawkinsite was standing there, motionless, his eyes unfocused, his four standing limbs sprawled out in four directions as far as they would go.
Now keep quiet. He'll gradually become aware of me. Get out of here.
No, Drake. What are you doing?
Quiet. There, you see? The skin on his face is beginning to quiver. Well, that's about all, Dr. Tolan. Don't throw in connection with any of the limbs. Your sense organs and the voice box will be quite enough.
Why do you invade my disconnection chamber? And why are you armed? What do you want?
The answer to certain questions.
With a gun in your hand? Sorry, Mr. Smollett, that the duties toward a guest are so badly understood on Earth.
You're no guest of mine, Dr. Tolan. You entered my home under false pretenses.
You had better shoot. It will save time.
You are convinced that you'll answer no questions? Now, that in itself is suspicious. It seems that you consider certain answers to be more important than your life.
I consider the principle of courtesy to be very important. You, as an Earthman, may not understand.
Perhaps not. But I can understand one thing. Your cyanide cylinder, suppose I... Pull it out of your mouth. Rose, hold your breath until I close the valve. There. All right, Tolan. You realize what will happen to you if you don't answer the questions I'm going to ask you. cyanide lack. It would be a most uncomfortable death. I'm only an Earthman. I can't appreciate its true horrors, but you can, can't you?
Drake, give him the cylinder. Give it back to him.
You have about 1 hour, I think, until the effects are irreversible. Talk quickly, Dr. Tolan. You'll have your cyanide cylinder back.
What are your questions?
What are your theories concerning the inhibition death? Why did you really come to Earth? What is your interest in the Missing Persons Bureau?
For years, I have been investigating the cell structure of my patients suffering from inhibition death. I've been forced to use the utmost secrecy, since the methods I used were frowned on by my people. Your society would have similar feelings against human vivisection, for instance. For this reason, I could not present the results I obtained to my fellow physicians until I had verified my theories here on Earth.
And what are they?
The inhibition death is entirely a disease of the mind.
You mean it's psychosomatic?
No, Miss Smollett, it is not psychosomatic. It is a true disease of the mind, a mental infection. My patients had double minds. Beyond and beneath the one that obviously belonged to them, there was evidence of another one, an alien mind. In short, there are not only 5 intelligences in the galaxy, but 6. And the 6th is parasitic.
This is impossible. You must be mistaken, Dr. Tolan.
No, I'm not mistaken. One can imagine such a parasite through the course of millions of years, perhaps losing all portions of its physical being. It'll become nothing but pure mind, living in some mental fashion we cannot conceive of on the minds of others, particularly on the minds of Earthmen.
Why particularly Earthmen?
Have you not surmised that the 6th intelligence is a native of Earth? Mankind from the beginning has lived with it, has adapted to it, is unconscious of it. It is why the higher species of terrestrial animals, including man, do not grow after maturity and eventually die. And it is what is called natural death. It is the result of this universal parasitic infestation. Where Earthmen could survive the infection for decades with little harm, we others die a quick death, within a year. Give me back my cylinder. You have your answer.
What about the Missing Persons Bureau?
Drake, look at his eyes. Give it back to him.
As we are not well adapted to the intelligence that infests man, neither is it well adapted to us. It can live on us, but it cannot reproduce, with ourselves alone as the source of its life. The inhibition death is therefore not directly contagious among our people.
What are you implying, Dr. Tolan?
The Earthman remains the prime host for the parasite, and an Earthman may infect one of us if he remains among us. But the parasite, once it is located in an intelligence of the outer worlds, must somehow return to an Earthman if it expects to reproduce. We are infected and reinfected as the parasites return to Earth and come back to us via the mind of Earthmen who travel through space.
And the missing persons?
Are the intermediate hosts. The masculine terrestrial mind seems better suited for their purpose. But once reproduction has been taken care of, the infested male leaves by spaceship for the outer worlds. He disappears.
But this is impossible. What you say implies that the parasite mind can control the actions of its host. That can't be, or we would have noticed their presence here on Earth.
The control may be very subtle, may moreover be exerted only during the period of active reproduction. I simply point to your Missing Persons Bureau. Why do the young men disappear? I'm quite ill now, cyanide lack, and I cannot speak much longer.
And you alone, of all your people, have any knowledge of this theory of yours?
I alone. You will give me back my cyanide cylinder now. I have become quite weak.
Sure. Sure, Dr. Tolan.
Drake!
Rose.
No, no!
Rose, come out of here. Come on now. Come on.
He's dead, you shot
outside.
Him.
Out. Quiet, Rose, quiet. I told you to have nothing to do with this.
Let me go. I want to go away. I want to go away.
Why? Because of something it was my job to do? You heard what that creature was saying. You suppose I could allow him to return to his world and spread those lies? They'd believe him. What do you think would happen then? They would have to kill us all to stop that disease.
What he said wasn't a lie. It was true.
Oh, come on now, you're hysterical. You need sleep.
I know what he said was true because the Security Commission knows all about the same theory and knows it's true.
Why do you say a thing like that?
Because you let it slip yourself.
Now, sit down. Sit down. Well, so I gave myself away, did I? When?
You turned white when Hark Tolan referred to me as a charming hostess. Hostess has a double meaning, Drake. A host is one who harbors a parasite.
I had no idea I was so transparent. Look, Rose, I've done my best to keep you out of this.
The truth can't be held down forever. Somebody else will find out. You can't kill them all.
We know that, too. We have no choice.
Why? Why can't we combine with the other intelligences and wipe out the parasite?
No, you don't understand. Hark Tolan was right. Man and his prehistoric ancestors have been living with this parasitic intelligence for uncounted ages. We've not only become adapted to it, we've become dependent on it. It's no longer a case of parasitism. It's a case of mutual cooperation. You biologists have a name for it.
What are you talking about? Symbiosis?
Yes, exactly. We have a disease of our own, remember? It is a reverse disease, one of unrestrained growth. You've mentioned it already as a contrast to inhibition death. It's all very well to say that if we could remove the parasite, we would have eternal growth and life. But it's impossible for us. If for any reason the parasitic intelligence, as Hark Tolan calls it, does leave the human body, or if its relationship to the human mind is in any way impaired, growth does take place, but not in an orderly fashion. We call the growth cancer, and there you have it. There's no way of getting rid of the parasite. We're together for all eternity. To get rid of their inhibition death, extraterrestrials must first wipe out all vertebrate life on Earth. There is no other solution for them. So we must keep knowledge of it from them. Now do you understand?
He got the body out of the apartment. I sat there numbly. He lied to me. Cancer could not be a disease that was an expression of lost ability for normal growth. Cancer attacked children while they were still growing. It could even attack embryonic tissue. Cancer had nothing to do with the presence or absence of normal growth. Its absence would not cause cancer. Drake lied. But no one would believe me. The young men who disappeared were usually in the first year of their marriage. Whatever the process of reproduction of the parasite intelligence was, it must involve close association with another parasite. The type of close and continuous association, as in the case of newly married couples. The parasite could control actions. I'd report them both, Drake Smollett and Hark Tolan, to the Missing Persons Bureau. But they'd never find them, for they'd be out in space. I wanted to weep, but I couldn't. I was dry-eyed, and it was painful. I'd looked for the answers to so many questions, and I'd found them all. I even found the answer to the question I thought had no bearing on the subject. I finally learned why Drake had married me.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was an NBC Radio Network production.
Airship Wrecked with Captain Proctor is created by London Homer Wamnium and produced by Petrifying Productions. Visit them online at www.petrifyingproductions.com. Contact the captain at CaptainJProctor@gmail.com and follow him in Google+ and iTunes Bing. Theme music by Kevin MacLeod. Sponsored by Fog Couture, creating the premier in steampunk and alternative history fashions. Visit their website, www.fogcouture.com.